Why would anybody even live in Texas? That's the part I never understood.
Yeah, that's a good question. I drove through it twice because I've driven cross country, and the western half is very flat and it smells like skunk farts. And then the eastern half is just the ugliest landscape I've ever seen. So I really do not understand Texas.
That's really cool because I know you've lived in Alabama.
Is it uglier than Arkansas?
Arkansas has some cool places to it. Like some of the cities are kind of nice. Texas, okay. So if you go up around, what's in the town in the northern part there that means yellow? What's that?
Amarillo.
Amarillo, thank you. Yeah, so I drove through Amarillo. They have this great steakhouse there, and it's the weirdest thing because it's flat, but the wind howls like it's Tartarus or something. It's just – or pandemonium if you're a D&D nerd. But it's like it's this crazy howling wind all the time, and it's just the weirdest thing. But they have great steak up there.
They slaughter it right on the table for you.
Pretty much. It's awesome.
That was probably the screaming wind. It was the tortured souls of all the cows.
Yeah, I've never lived in a place or driven a place where the wind goes moo.
I've had a few dogs that go moo.
Those weren't dogs, sir. Those were cows. And you probably shouldn't have them on your lap. Also, does this little tiny furry steak taste funny to you?
Speaking. Did Ken dogs, come back yet?
Dogs don't have horns. Let's go ahead and get this cleared up before we start.
What kind of dogs do you have?
The cats that don't have that. Horns.
Ken.
Yes.
Does your dog have horns?
No. Not last I checked.
Wait, do you actually have a dog?
Yes.
Oh,
when was the last time you checked? We need dates.
Like 30 seconds ago.
Okay, all right. Well, that's good.
Wait, did you take your dog to the bathroom with you?
No, he was in the living room when I walked in to get something to drink after using the bathroom.
Oh, I thought you were out of toilet paper or something.
God.
All right, good night, everybody. It's nice talking to you.
Podcasts, The Final Frontier. These are the audio logs of the podcast Superhero Time. Their 5-month mission? Explore old episodes of Star Trek, alienate even more listeners, and boldly plow your mom where no one has come before.
With XV.
That's really the moral of this episode. You can't take Jell-O and blow up a starship.
Hey, Mickey.
All I've ever cared about giving quality casting pod things.
Ken and Fort Max.
But
what?
In the butt.
This week on that one episode of Star Trek, it's time for Enterprise again, and we had to bring in specialist help for that. So, it's Hey Mickey's friend Moloth, or Scott, or Scrolloth, or something. I don't know.
The 1142, I mean, he basically was second.
Fort Max?
What the hell?
Fort Max is possessed.
Fort Max, why did we hear your radio? Fort Max?
I don't even have a radio on.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, the rest of you. We heard radio, correct?
Something about the 502?
Yeah,
like...
yeah, traffic radio.
Yes!
Fort Max, are you in a helicopter?
That would explain so much.
Fort Max is coming to us from the space station Sky Vault.
I guess you could say intro quote.
All right.
All right, we just started the show and it's already a disaster. This is fantastic.
Good
Great
job,
to be
Scott.
Here, guys. Great to be here.
I'm glad you're here.
I don't even know how this, like...
Did you hear it?
It's like the headphone cable picking it up or something.
Fort Max, do you have, like, amalgam fillings or something?
Are you pirating
now,
HBO?
I know you guys have done this before. I've heard you.
Yes, this has happened before.
Okay.
This is not the first time Fort Max has become a radio.
That is the...
intro quote.
They kind of go together, actually.
Oh, my.
Show. Right.
You know, I'm going to have to, like...
Again.
I'm going to have to, like, completely reorder the intro whenever I put those together, too. It's going to be a huge pain in the ass. Right, so we've got Mickey's friend Scott here to talk Enterprise with us, because otherwise I'm the only one who knows this show.
Right, I've watched it. The first two seasons, when it first came out, hated it, especially the Joel rubdown scenes. I was like, this isn't Star Trek. Went back many years later, watched it on Netflix, and realized it was actually pretty good in seasons 3 and 4. So I have a special love for it.
So my hating of it right now is the expected reaction?
No, you're still wrong, Ken.
Well, no. We're watching season 1. So if you hate this, that's totally fine.
No, it's okay, not. Because see, seasons 1 and 2 are what I actually like of this show the best.
Oh, gosh.
I've heard that's kind of a unpopular opinion.
Well, so is Enterprise in general.
Yes.
Yes, but I'm talking about within the context of Enterprise.
I actually like this episode because there's so little of the actual cast in it.
So it's kind of like our Voyager episode last week that didn't actually have the characters.
I fell asleep in this episode because there's so little of anything in it. Color.
Oh, what? The first 15 minutes of no dialogue wasn't exciting enough for you?
Now, I will admit, that was a bold choice, you know, in production.
And, you know, no context of what the hell just happened. And I kept wondering, I was like, was there like, did they like do an un-Star Trek thing and like set it up in the previous episode or anything? And I'm like, no.
You're like checking the TV guide. Did I miss an episode? What's going on?
Yeah, I went back in Netflix. I went back to the previous episode, fast forward to the end of it. Like, no.
Nope, that one was bad too. Let's watch this one.
So speaking of the theme song, and this is a theory I've had for a while, because you get strength from the heart and from your gut and stuff. It's like, because this is all like Bush era stuff. So it always felt like he wrote this theme song.
Bush?
Yeah, like W. Bush. You know, it's about jingo-y. Space exploration, but it's about faith of the heart and stuff. And it sounds like a very Bushy thing to say. Now, we didn't get to hear it on the power of our minds. We got to hear on the strength of our guts.
And this would have, considering this would have started at the end of September. I can see that.
Yeah. Good old early 2000s America. A cultural zeitgeist that will always stand the test of time.
Wait, if it's a zeitgeist, how can it stand the test of time?
This zeitgeist will last forever. It's American.
Like blue jeans and Converse.
Like trench coats.
Hey.
And fedoras. So the episode of Enterprise we're watching on Scott's suggestion is Acquisition from season 1.
Episode 18?
Or 19, depending. Everything I saw was calling it 19.
Really?
Netflix says 18, so you're wrong.
Netflix, yes. I'm sure, is counting Broken Bow as one, but I think in terms of production numbers, it actually has two production numbers.
Broken Bow is considered technically episodes 1 and 2.
Yeah.
But Netflix rolls them together.
Mm-hmm. By Netflix's numbering, it is the 18th episode because it would have been the 18th, you know, solid unit broadcast originally. But Broken Bow has two production numbers, so...
Oh, speaking of... Okay. At one of the half-price books, they had on Laserdisc, Encounter at Farpoint.
Did you buy it?
Oh my god, you bought it.
I have not yet.
Buy
that!
What
is wrong with you? Go...
Wait, Fort Max, how much is it?
We'll pause the podcast right now for you to go buy it.
Fort Max, how much do they want for it?
I don't know.
God.
Does it matter how much they want it? You're going to buy it anyway.
Why did you even say that?
It's Encounter on Farpoint, but it's media the size of a coffee table. Why would you not buy it immediately?
Oh, wait, I know why he said that. Just to, you know, rile you up just as you are.
Are you trolling me on purpose?
He is. It's Fort Max. Of course Maybe. He is.
Fort Max went radio again also.
He did.
Fort Max, do you possibly need a new headset?
I could try.
Exactly what? exactly what? What?
What even is this episode?
You know, the bad thing is the radio comes through clearer than Fort Max does.
You know what the sad thing is? You know what the sad thing is? Every time Fort Max goes radio, I miss JD a little bit more.
Oh God, he'd have so much fun with that shit.
Fort Max.
What is it, like Wilma?
More like Barge.
Barge
little. Like, you know, imagine Homer Simpson wringing out Bart's neck, and there you go.
Oh, but Marge. Oh, no.
You should have been there for the epic argument talking about toll roads from Oklahoma to Texas.
It's in an episode somewhere. Just go back in the archives and find it.
I think people pay enough when they even drive into those states. You don't need to double charge them.
Oh, my. Fort Max, are you back up yet?
Yeah.
All right, then. So we're making Ken do the summary for this, right?
Let's just gangbang it.
All right.
So it might be the best idea because I don't care enough about this episode to even make fun of it that much.
All right, Mickey, you get the first turn.
Passing, but not, you know, summarizing it.
All right. Well, I'll make the first insertion here. Mm-hmm. So as the Enterprise lists aimlessly in space, on accident this time instead of on purpose.
There's not really much difference between its normal state.
A strange craft pulls up alongside it, and we cut to the inside, and we see Clint Howard, Jeffrey Combs, and Ethan Phillips.
Yeah, Ethan Phillips.
And some other guy.
Yay, Clint Howard.
Yeah.
Good actors! Wasted.
And of course Jeffrey Combs is there because it's Star Trek and he's in every episode.
Right.
Just as a different person every time.
Mm-hmm.
So as the audience wonders, what the hell, Ferengi? They were just rumored to exist in episode 1, Next Generation. What are they doing here? Clearly this isn't some kind of gimmick to garner ratings.
Enterprise. It's sad that they're already doing this in season 1, too.
And so as the camera zooms up to the first Ferengi and he opens his mouth and gives the explanation of wondering what's going on, nonsense comes out. Because there's no universal translator. So fuck you, audience.
Bork, bork, bork.
They couldn't subtitle it or anything, or just... No.
Bork.
So these are guys... So I know everyone's asleep. Everyone's all passed out everywhere. They find a particular pointy-eared female member of the crew, and the only thing I can think is they're like, we got the space quaaludes for all the little people of the Enterprise.
Oh, my God.
Topical.
And offensive. You're fitting right in.
That is more than a little disconcerting. And mm-hmm. it continues like that through the entire...
Yeah, there's this undercurrent of rapiness to the entire thing. It's kind of creepy.
Yeah.
We were first going through it and they find, was it T'Pol, is it?
Yeah.
Yes, they find her. It's like, oh, well, there's sexy woman, therefore we're Ferengi, so females.
Yes, because, of course, a Ferengi would find a humanoid that doesn't have lobes or ears or anything attractive, because that's how speciation works.
Well, but she has exotic lobes, and that's why I put together is that they're interested in her because of her ears.
Right. She's exotic.
Well, ears do have holes.
I've always wondered about that aspect of Ferengi, you know, fucking. Had to think of the technical term.
Well, no. The ear thing is umoks, because when you rub their ears, you're giving them umoks.
Well, that's what the females do to the males, but what do the males do to the females?
Nothing, because remember, Ferengi society, the females aren't even wearing to allow clothes.
Right, and in Deep Space Nine, they describe it as something-something conjugal bliss.
Yeah.
So obviously they're doing something with the females' ears. The females may not be, on board with it necessarily, but they're probably doing something with those ears.
Yeah, it goes back to the famous Ferengi joke. What do you call that useless flesh around a woman's ears? A woman.
Eh?
Yeah.
I think this episode needs an adult. I think I need an adult.
I am an adult.
Oh, no.
So when do we get to the my favorite character?
Not yet, because... Right now, the Ferengi are still exploring the ship and wearing gas masks for some reason.
They don't know if it's the air is breathable.
Oh, it's not that, actually. They know why they're wearing the gas masks.
Yes.
This must be where Ken fell asleep.
Yeah, yeah, so they don't gas themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They know precisely what's in the air.
I was thinking they really like the smell of their own breath.
Well, they're Ferengi. They probably do.
So the Ferengi make their way to the bridge, and they find Captain Archer asleep, and the rest of the bridge crew exactly as talkative as they normally are.
Especially Meriwether.
Who?
The black guy.
Oh, he's a name?
Travis Mayweather.
Yes. Is it Travis?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I just knew him as Meriwether.
Isn't he the same character in Galaxy Quest?
He is so forgettable, I don't even know.
So forgettable basically sums up most of the crew for me at this point.
Yeah.
Although, moving on to a crew member that I'm never going to forget again.
Yes, but not because of his face.
Ah, Trip, the best character on the show. And you notice that when he's laying on the ground, he has a very Jesus kind of pose to him with his legs crossed and everything. He's all savior looking.
Let's talk special effects for a moment.
Okay.
What in the fuck did they stuff his shorts with?
The dog.
I don't
That's why every once in a while you can see it wagging.
I think Trip is just that talented.
Talented.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, talented like Sailor Jupiter.
Dude, look at him. He's going into the intercom to fuse open the door. That's how talented a Starfleet engineer is.
I don't think one has to do with the other because the panel was not at crotch level.
Yeah, although the camera remains there, I noticed.
Yeah, the camera focuses there a lot.
Look, the director knew what he was doing this episode.
Well, at least as far as that goes. The rest of it, I'm not so sure.
All right, so what I don't understand, he's a Starfleet engineer. He is ripped and he's bulging in all the right places. What happened to Scotty?
A lot of liquor.
That's not synthol he was drinking.
Oh, that's true.
I mean,
it was green.
Yeah.
Among other colors. I don't think they had synthol in the original series.
Oh, dude, what Trip with the squatting? I mean, there's a full squat. Yes. I mean, it's just in his hanging low, like
squats his ass right in front of that guy's face.
I know.
He squats, you know, all three legs hit the ground.
Are you looking tenaciously at my muscled buttocks?
Powdered toast, man.
Also, seriously, what is up with the Starfleet underwear? That isn't. I don't get it.
They're space Mormons, clearly.
It looks like they're going swimming in the early 1900s.
So, like Mormons. All the time.
Well, Mormons, there goes the Mormon audience.
Space. Yeah, sorry about losing your Mormon audience. I know Mormons love Star Trek.
Yeah.
Another phallic image, that missile going down the hallway.
Of course, if this way to go, director. Lost Fortress Ironhold, I don't really think I would care.
Is he Mormon?
Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm. No wonder.
Yeah, it explains a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah. Like that time when they changed the board software in AllSpark and he got like 308 downvotes in 24 hours.
Yeah.
That was great. I sent a few of those in myself.
So, the Ferengi invade the medical bay to raid it for valuable goods. So, clearly they're going after the morphine, the OxyContins.
No Q-tips, though. They don't go after a single Q-tip. You have any idea how disappointing that is?
You'd think the Ferengi, of all people.
I know, right? Well, those puny, like, Earth Q-tips are probably no match for Ferengi ears.
That's true.
Oh, so, God, Trip makes use of the medbay's incredibly ill-advised direct access to the Jefferies tubes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to let the illness spread through the ship as quickly as possible should there be a contamination.
Right.
Right.
And somehow he climbs up it upside down. I don't understand this.
Because he's Trip.
It looks like he was up there and peaked and was going, being upside down to peek down.
You can believe what you think is the truth.
Yeah, is there anything for you to stand on?
What I know is the truth is he actually just climbed up backwards.
He was supporting himself on his third leg.
He was just hanging from it.
He was...
That explains actually a lot.
Well, he did like wrap it around one of the ladder rungs.
Yeah, prehensile.
Yeah. He just goes flaccid to retract itself back up.
Don't you?
God, that's flaccid.
But yes, speaking of phallic references, we'll talk about this torpedo there. Sliding through circular hallways.
I know. I love it. It comes around the corner, like poking out, and then tentatively thrusts itself down the hallway.
Oh, God.
Being pushed by two bald headed round things behind. Come on.
And going through. Now, one thing is that, okay, weren't those. Ramps that they have going over the hatchway. Are those always there?
No, they put them in themselves.
Yeah, the Ferengi put them there.
This is the
so they.
Star
where
Trek
did they get all the diamond metal? All the diamond pressed metal.
The closet,
the replicator.
And I like the fact in the next scene too. He's literally grabbing a seat.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he's ripping the bench up from the bridge.
Because of all the things on a starship, that friggin' seat's the parts that you want, not like warp coils or anything like that.
Well, those aren't going to be in the cockpit.
These things here where the episode just kind of just sells itself to me, where the Ferengi are basically just stealing everything that's not fucking nailed to the floor.
Speaking of
except
which,
including the stuff that is nailed to the floor, the seats.
Yeah, because that was attached to the floor. Like, he was trying to pick it up, but they cut away and then come back.
You can see where the bolts went.
Yeah, they cut away and then come back to him carrying it off the bridge after he's removed the bolts.
This is a nice chair. It's probably valuable. I'll take it.
Look at how it slides side to side. I've never seen anything like that before.
So
it's amazing.
At the risk of sounding nerdy, and I don't want to have that risk in this kind of podcast.
Yes, sure.
So the Ferengi, they're all about acquisition and business. So how you'd think that thieves and pirates would be like scumbags because you're supposed to make your money through business, not just stealing it, right?
No. The business comes after the stealing.
Okay.
Yeah,
and remember, if you
stealing.
Steal it, you're not having to spend money on it.
Right. This is just inventory that you need for business later.
Why else do you think they're so into gambling?
So we go straight from the awesome stealing the chair scene straight to them reading the automat.
Yeah.
Where they're turning their nose at the human food, except when they encounter pie. Like, oh shit, this pie smells
awesome. And then
they
just throw it in the bag.
Throw it in the bag!
Now here's the thing. I love this entire first part when it's just focusing on the Ferengi with no English dialogue. All it needs to be, put it in black and white, piano music, maybe sped up a little.
Yes.
A whole just silent movie of Ferengi just goofing around stealing shit.
You know what? Don't even put it in black and white. Speed it up, put Yakety Sax over it.
This all sounds a lot more fun than what I actually
And just
watch.
Call it a day.
Yeah, because the writer
just get a little more three.
My problem with it is
This is the four Ferengi Stooges, pretty much.
Yeah, it's like, on paper it all sounds great, but in practice I was just bored to tears.
Well, you know, but see, the writers were so...
Ow! It's just...
It's boring! I mean, everything is just bland and gray and the same, and...
Okay, that's the problem with the sets.
The Ferengi are pretty orange,
that's
though.
That's the problem with the show, because the show takes place on the sets.
Let's wait for the Ferengi socks.
It's all good.
Yes, those socks are amazing.
Yeah.
You want color, motherfucker? You're going to get Ferengi socks.
I don't think the acting's anything to write home about, so... Eh.
Ken's not paying any attention to the socks. He's too busy just, you know, ragging on the show.
I was responding to Fort Max.
He's missing the forest for the socks. Or something. That's how the idiom goes, right?
Yeah, right? Something like that.
I like the cargo hold of the Ferengi, too. Let's steal every phallic object and the women.
Well, look, they had to settle for that stuff because they don't have anything shaped like ears on Enterprise.
Speaking of phallic symbols, there's Trip again. Wandering around
right.
The warp core.
Everything they're stealing in their cargo bay is cylindrical.
Mm-hmm. I really think the writers wrote this episode just to mess with the viewers. No dialogue.
Well, one other thing that I like symbols back everywhere. In the bed bay, when they opened up the doctor's worms or whatever the heck.
Yeah, his specimen jar.
Yeah.
Well, so knowing
this is
the doctor,
the writers trolling the audience.
Yeah, pretty much.
I certainly feel trolled.
You know what? Frigate. 25% of this episode, no dialogue. Our jobs are easy. We'll make the actors
no dialogue,
do all the work.
Nothing but cocks everywhere.
Yep.
This episode's amazing.
Cocks in space.
All right, so Trip has escaped and is wandering around, not bothering to put on pants, mind you.
Oh, thank God.
Which I'm not complaining for, because, you know, he's got, like, a small child stuffed into his shorts, it looks like.
Now, a small child's name was Hey Mickey.
It looks like he's crowning, basically.
Oh, God.
Anyway, so as he gingerly walks around the knocked-out crewmen, not bothering to wake them up, he figures, I'll check the security cams and see what's going on. And he tunes in to two Ferengi carrying Captain Archer into a turbolift shaft. Which, the thought that crosses my mind is, these actors are going really strong to just fireman carry that guy around like that, because he's a fairly big guy.
Ethan
Phillips. Bakula is not short.
Yeah, and Ethan Phillips is honestly built like a brick shit house. Have you ever seen the man?
No, not as anything other than Neelix.
No, he's a pudgy little guy. It's all right.
Oh, okay. Your ham sandwich.
You believe
there.
Me.
Hey, Scott, what'd you have for breakfast?
No, and the thing is, too, when Trip tunes into the bridge, and, like, at first it looks like they're just moving Archer so they can take his chair, but no, they're taking Archer instead. Somebody
right,
will come back
tell
for the chair
captain.
Later.
Well, he's in the nicest chair.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
He's in the nicest chair, which they spent a whole episode with a subplot about how he finds it uncomfortable.
And the solution was to what? Lower it by like a centimeter?
Yes.
Why didn't people like Enterprise again? Because that sounds amazing. That would have been a great B-plot for Next Generation about lowering Picard's chair a centimeter.
Ah, yes. But see, in Next Generation, you would do that and nobody would tell Picard. So he would just be oddly uncomfortable the whole episode and never find out why.
Wait, wasn't he always oddly uncomfortable?
The bridge.
What, Scott?
I said, wasn't he always oddly uncomfortable?
No,
the man could not keep his clothes straight.
Well, that was the wardrobe department's fault. I mean, did you see what Geordi was wearing that one time?
In a real episode or in the fan fiction?
No, in a real episode.
Okay.
His civilian clothes.
God.
His purple velvet sweater and, like, gym pants.
Well, it was the late 80s. Come on.
Well, and to be fair, Geordi was a blind man. So, I mean, we can't completely blame him for his wardrobe choices.
All he knew is that the radiation spectrum on them looked fine.
Yes.
Right.
And I can imagine him walking through the ship, getting to the bridge, and then Troy goes, Captain, the crew is amused for some reason. I'm thinking of sniggering. I don't understand.
Quiet, Troy. Pay attention to your driving.
Okay. How did you hit a mailbox in space? So if we get to the point yet where, like, Captain Archer is so much smarter that he outsmarts these Ferengi?
Well, they're Ferengi.
Yes,
that's not hard.
The Ferengi have handcuffed him to the wall.
Okay, settle down.
It's not Trip they've done this to.
Oh, okay. I don't care then.
So, they're grilling him for information about the Enterprise's super secret vault of treasure.
Because Ferengi have never run into any other species besides themselves, right?
Probably. That's sort of the impression you get from this anyway, because they've never even heard of the Vulcans.
Right. How can they not hear Vulcan? Vulcan's been around for like hundreds of years or something, right?
Yes, hundreds of years of Vulcans. It's a long, rich history.
In space. There's dozens of us. Dozens!
Well, in the Abrams universe.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
They all died.
All right, so they're all sneering at Archer, and he's trying to talk, and they keep lightly tapping him in the gut.
Which somehow makes him, like, you know, bleed from his lip.
I think that's when they bitch-smacked him across the face, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think eventually they smack him in his smug little face.
But Scott Bakula's face is his best feature.
I just don't see how his nose didn't deflect the blow.
It's certainly not his acting ability. Look, he just didn't make a good starship captain, okay?
Well, it's like, you know, making Kevin Sorbo the lead in a sci-fi series.
Oh.
No one would ever do that. Don't be ridiculous.
Right.
Yeah, that would never happen.
That would never happen in something that has Gene Roddenberry's name attached to it.
Did y'all hear something? I think someone's mic messed up.
I think he's making up words.
Like the Fringit beginning of the episode.
It's okay. Yeah. Ken's just paladining some jokes for us.
So Captain Archer looks up and sees Trip standing strangely above them somehow in the rafters. And I can only imagine he's thinking, why haven't you put pants on yet, man?
Why are you naked?
Angle,
what did they do to you?
And why would the starship have rafters?
I can barely see your face. At least I can see your other head. It just kind of sticks out there.
Trip, when did you become a Cyclops? And go bald.
Penis.
I'm sorry, what?
Nothing. I didn't say anything.
Okay, so when he sees Trip there, he gets an idea. Why, Ferengi, yes, I'll take you to our super secret vault. It's full of gold bars. Lots of them.
Yeah, and they're like, gold latinum? Gold pressed latinum? He's like, no, just regular gold. And I figure at this point, the Ferengi would go, oh, just regular gold. We can replicate that. Gold latinum is what we want. Because that you can't replicate that. But no, they're okay with regular gold.
Maybe they never heard of gold before.
It's an element.
Maybe not in the Ferengi homeworld. I think on
Maybe
Ferenginar
they call something else there.
I think on Ferenginar, the only elements are mud.
Worms.
No, that's an animal.
I don't know.
Not an element.
Animals are an element.
I don't like spirit.
Heart.
Mm-hmm.
The Ferengi version of Captain Planet.
Captain Commerce.
Yes.
Dollars, cents, equity.
Equity.
Interest.
Oh, that's great.
By your economies combined.
I am anarcho-capitalism. So these Ferengi, I mean,
the
they're
only
like,
garage
oh,
is they have the if they have the money to pay for his services,
obviously.
Right. These are so basically these are like space libertarians. We don't need no trade regulations. We just take what we want.
Okay, so their brilliant plan for Captain Archer is to get him to load cylindrical objects into their shuttle. So they don't have to.
Is that a euphemism?
Sadly, no.
Oh, no.
They're just...
No, you're being literal. Okay, yeah, I see.
Yeah.
You think they would have stole some, like, gravity hover loaders or something in their time out in space?
Do they even have those on Enterprise?
Well, they had those carts they rolled that torpedo around with.
Well, yeah, but the Ferengi brought those. The Ferengi brought the room service carts. They weren't, you know, part of the... They weren't going to let Archer use one of those. He might have broke it. He's not on the insurance.
Ah.
Actually, the Ferengi are probably renting them.
Look, we have to get our deposit back on these.
Right.
But what's an episode of the Ferengi without rules of acquisition?
Yes.
All 173 of them. Wait, what?
Which are all labeled in this episode. That's not true.
No.
So as the dumb low man on the totem pole Ferengi is stuck guarding Archer, Archer just grills the shit out of him for information. And starts turning the screws to eventually have him turn on his comrades. You know, your boss seems like kind of a dick. I bet you you're better than him. Yeah, why aren't you the leader?
Yeah, and this is like such an old plot. This has worked like forever. That's something. And one thing I don't like about this episode is such a old. It's a trope. It's a trope.
This is some Gilligan's Island shit.
Yes. I bet you can't throw me into that briar patch. You know, I mean, come on. Oh, please, I hate guns. Don't give me one. I'll just freak out. Oh, here's a gun.
So, as for
creatures that survive on their wit, how are these guys not dead?
So Archer notices a half-naked Trip leering at them from behind a bulkhead.
How can you not? I mean, you see parts of him before you see his face. I can see you, Trip. No, not your face.
So he asked the Ferengi that, you know, I'm really thirsty. Could you get me some water from a room way over there? I'll just stay here. And bring me a sandwich, bitch. So the Ferengi handcuffs him to the bulkhead and runs off like a good little maid to get him his drink and sandwich.
So why doesn't Trip, like, stay here and then just beat the guy up?
Well, that would interfere with the captain's plan.
Oh, that would make sense.
Yeah, I mean, there's only, like, four of them. They have, I don't know. Like, you just, like, assault them.
Well, that's not a very human thing to do. You need to talk with them and extend the episode for the full 45 minutes.
Oh, God, why?
Well, because you need to have enough commercial breaks in here to make the show profitable.
So,
this is like that.
So, remember in Next Generation, Starship Mine? That totally could have been this episode.
Oh, man, there's another just dead center of the camera of the shot, big blue bulge.
No, but think about it. Like, you just get the whole Enterprise emptied except for Trip, and you have him running around in his underwear fighting Ferengi for the whole 40 minutes.
That's pretty close to what we got. That's memorable this episode.
That would have actually been entertaining.
It's like not Die Hard, only with more cock.
And you're describing an episode that this is not, unfortunately.
Maybe that's why I like this episode more than you, because I'm remembering something that it wasn't.
I think that that
you just described Enterprise in general.
The thing is,
I remember exactly what it was, and
the thing is,
sleepy just listening. Actually,
when we decided on
imagination,
this,
Ken.
When we decided on this, I went and like read the summary for the episode, and I did not remember any of the Trip parts of this episode. All I remembered was Archer talking to the Ferengi. That was all I remembered of this episode.
If you don't remember Trip and wearing underwear prancing about the Enterprise, I don't know what to do for you.
No, he's not even wearing shoes or socks.
No, he's not.
No. Speaking of Die Hard, he's not wearing shoes. Oh my God, this is the Die Hard episode. He's crawling around the tubes barefoot, fighting off terrorists that have invaded. Oh my God.
And yet, Die Hard is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Well, then you should love this. This is basically Die Hard.
It's horrible.
Ken, obviously you don't love Die Hard because you don't like this episode.
Bullshit,
right.
I love Die Hard.
The best Die Hard movie is Live Free or Die Hard, but only the PG-13 cut.
Oh, God.
You're a horrible human being.
Confirmed.
You're literally the worst person
I know.
Okay, so. Just for saying that.
All right, so Archer tells Trip something. They confer, and they kind of figure out that Trip's fine because he was in the sex bath while the crew got knocked out.
Practicing his Jesus pose.
Okay, oh God, I want to...
The camera just went by this one guy on the screen. And his... I don't know. His eye...
Right, that's really interesting, Ken. So let's talk about this whole... Talk about this whole decontamination thing. So, basically, they brought on some artifact that they got off of a moon that they happened to be flying by or something. I mean, that part's not really important. But they brought this artifact up, brought it straight to engineering, but they made Trip go and spend half an hour in the decontamination chamber.
But not the item he brought on board.
Which starts emitting noxious fumes that knock everybody out, which is entirely why you would have a decontamination protocol for something like that.
Right.
So but no, we're just going to put our chief engineer and his huge bulge in the chamber instead.
So they knew which one was most likely to be infected with something gross.
Again, writing!
So, yeah. So they just proved that the humans will just fly by and pick up random shits laying around, too. So how are they different than the Ferengi?
Well, the humans don't want to sell it afterward, that we know of. Which just proves they're not as smart as the Ferengi.
Okay, so Archer tells Trip that they woke me up with a hypospray. So get that and go get help.
Fortunately, they just left it laying around.
So who do we revive? Who do we bring back that can help out the most during an invasion?
Perhaps our tactical officer.
Yeah, somebody like that who can use weapons to fight back these people taking over the ship.
Mm-hmm. Someone who's probably trained in, like, snapping people's necks with his bare hands or just being British at them until they go to sleep.
Right, right. Which is actually what happened. It wasn't the gas. It was just him being British to everybody. He just got too Hugh Granty and they all just went, ha, 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 and that was it.
But no, unfortunately, Reed is not a female, so he's not conveniently accessible.
So, who do they revive?
They reverse Rufy to Paul.
Reverse Rufy to Paul. That's a hard sentence to say.
I think it's just because you're not drunk enough.
That's true. So instead of being in her underwear, she's still wearing the skin-tight cat suit.
Which she's always wearing, because, you know, Vulcans are all about looking sexy.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Which is actually one of the very first things on Enterprise that put me off, aside from the theme song.
Right.
Is that they totally have 709 to Vulcan, and that kind of pissed me off.
I believe also at the production stage, somebody was like, okay, we'll have her dress in traditional Vulcan, you know, loose robes and stuff. And, like, I think the network vetoed that and said put her in a cat suit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's conflicted because, you know, as a straight dude, it's kind of like, well, I can't argue with that, but as a Trek fan, it annoys the hell out of me. So I'm just so conflicted.
Well, look at it this way. Okay, I would still be complaining if Trip was wearing this bulgy outfit as his main uniform for the entire show. Because it's dumb.
Yeah.
People
yeah.
don't dress like this normally.
Right. Oh.
And people don't walk around at work wearing cat suits.
Well, maybe you don't.
That's true. Mickey does work in a really, like, stuffy place, so I don't think that would... That may not be the best example. Ken, no, you work at a grocery store. People wear cat suits there, right?
No.
No, that's in the Ferengi. The freezer section?
Ken, maybe you should wear a cat suit.
No. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants that.
That's okay. We'll just give you some oil and you'll slide right into it.
Boy, I've had a dollar.
I'm sorry, Scott. I think you were saying something.
No. I was just looking at the Ferengi. I was just noticing how they're all color-coordinated like Power Rangers. There's the gold-green one. There's the red one. There's the blue one. And their costumes are actually pretty fantastic when you look at them.
Especially the socks.
Yeah, especially the socks.
Yeah, actually, these clothes look a lot more natural than anything they wore in Next Generation.
Yeah, they look actually functional with, like, straps and things that hold things.
Yeah, remember the first appearance Ferengi uniform?
Yeah, the furry thing. They had the big neural whips.
Well, one of those turns up in this episode.
Which is a cool throwback, I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
Future.
Yeah. All right, okay, so T'Pol wakes up, and
it's Trip says, with a side of Trip's huge bulge.
Which is pretty much the first thing she noticed. She's like, dude?
Hey, what you doing?
And so Trip's like, oh, shit, sorry. I guess I used up all of the wake-up juice. My bad.
just you and me, hun. Let's do this thing. At which point, Fergie enters the room, and she immediately has to play dead. And Trip convincingly hides behind...
something.
A metal pole, I guess.
Yeah. It looks like a water evaporator or condenser from Tatooine. That's what it looks like.
Well, it hides a good 40% of his body.
Right. Come on, you got Jolene Blaylock laying unconscious on the ground. I'm not looking at anything but her.
Okay, I'll give you points for that. That's probably true.
Yeah.
Because all really... that Fergie is looking at is stroking her ear.
Mm-hmm.
That's good cartilage.
Yeah, and there's Trip completely unhidden. Okay, you rolled a 2. Does that make it? Yep, you hide, amazingly. D&D joke.
All right, so T'Pol, the Fringy leaves the room. T'Pol gets up and says, "I don't have emotions, but I feel furious. I want to murder him," or something to the equivalent of that, which is it's awful.
Just like the show. Sorry.
So yeah, as they're walking through the door, you can
really
tell
people
to
repress their violent tendencies, something like that.
Yeah, it's just like no, that dialogue is awful. It does not sound like something a Vulcan would say.
Most of what T'Pol says doesn't sound like something a Vulcan would say.
Sounds like something they think a Vulcan would say, but they, you know, haven't actually researched it.
Yeah, they haven't really based it on real Vulcans.
Vulcan stereotypes.
I mean, it could be worse. They could be writing her the way they wrote Tuvok.
Tuvok was written?
They wrote Tuvok?
I thought that was just Tim Russ.
I thought he just stood static on the set in the background.
No, that was Harry Kim.
Oh, so now Trip's getting dressed. He actually finally puts on clothes.
Oh, are we only
but not his
part?
Clothes. He goes and puts on some. He goes and puts on somebody else's clothes that are two sizes too small.
Oh God! Oh, they're so tight and form fitting. Stupid sexy Flanders.
So later on, Ensign Jones gets in his uniform. Why is the crotch all stretched out of this shit?
It's roomy. But, you know.
Someone had a tricorder in here? What the hell?
That's what they put down there.
Yeah, okay, like, so you know, we find out later that it's not even Trip's bulge. That's just where the pocket is in future underwear. That's actually been his wallet the whole time.
There's just a line where he told them to keep their shirts on. I'm like, I don't think you're the one to be telling people that.
All right, so as they enact their cunning plan, the Fringi are busy back in the med bay again, looking for secret treasure.
Because they don't know what a med bay looks like. They think it's a treasure room.
Oh, no. They had a good reason for this. I say good reason, but...
Good. As if anything here is good.
You know, what's as important as your money? Your health.
Right. Amazingly, Farengar, socialized healthcare. It's amazing. Even Farengar has it.
Farengar, and unfortunately we know that's not true.
Farengar? Farengar. Ferginar?
Farengar.
Fergie? Ferguson?
Frigginar.
Frigginar.
Alright, so as the Fergie discovered the magic of an MRI... redshirted Clint Howard Ferengi. He discovers the magic of a turkey baster / artificial inseminator.
I thought that was a biopsy thing.
Sure, it is.
I thought that was the thing you like jam in someone's muscle and you pull the trigger and it rips a piece out so they can look at it under a microscope.
That or gilding? I'm not certain which.
Ah, what?
So what do you do on the weekends, man? Oh, I know what one of those are. You reach in and you take chunks of flesh out of people. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
Now, of all of us, I would know what that is, and I don't. So.
So the Fringe are just kind of wandering around the bridge now?
Well, they want to look at a schematic of the ship or something.
Right.
Oh, yes.
And T'Pol is somewhere nearby, but not in there. So I don't understand exactly where she's hiding.
Neelix Ferengi has this great idea. The vault must be in the captain's quarters.
Well, why?
Well, why not?
Because that's where his captain keeps all his treasure.
Right. And all species are just like Ferengi because, you know, that's the way it works, apparently.
Well, I mean, we think all people are like us.
Yeah, I can kind of understand that because they obviously think they're the most evolved. Therefore, everyone should be like them.
Or want to be, at least.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But if they've done pirating before, surely they would know that's not the case. You know, they go, oh, well, not every ship has a vault. You know, not everyone is obsessed with stuff like we are. You'd think they would have noticed that by now.
Apparently not.
Oh, this is my favorite part of the episode.
Huh?
Okay, so while they're looking at the schematic and getting ready to go raid the captain's quarters, Metal Gear T'Pol is hiding around the corner.
Bling!
And she hacks into the system to play an incredibly obnoxious noise to just terrify the Ferengi.
Can you demonstrate that for us?
She hits the button all of a sudden. It's been a long road.
Called it.
So the Ferengi clutch their ears.
Oh my, clutch the ears.
And okay, what stops the noise? Shooting the console.
Because that's what you want to do on the bridge of a starship.
You know, the speakers are probably up in the ceiling. Look, let's shoot the keyboard.
Look, I'm gonna trust the people with ears bigger than my fists to tell me where the sound's coming from. If they say it's coming from the science console, I'll believe them.
Who normally mans the science console? Is that T'Pol?
Yeah.
Okay.
So she probably just, like, you know, remoted into her iPod dock and... That's what they shot out.
This is the 23rd century, I'm sure, or 22nd, whatever. I don't know. Either way, I'm sure they've got Spotify in space.
Oh, yeah. Spaceify. All right. So T'Pol is all sneaky and stealing stuff and confusing them, and then she looks all smug, and then we go down to engineering?
Okay. I don't get how she planted shit in their bags and stole one of them. Did we cut out a scene, or...
Yeah, when I was watching this, I was thinking the same thing. It's like she looks at it in her hand, and they were just there. She didn't, like, reach through the wall or something.
I guess she snuck on the bridge while they were shooting the consoles.
Vulcan ninjas. Yeah. All right. So where are we at now? What are we looking at? Engineering?
Where are we? Oh, engineering.
Where are we?
It's like Archer still working that one, the one loser Ferengi. Because if you're going to be in a group of losers, you want to be the loser Ferengi. It's like, that is seriously bottom of the pile. Archer's like, you're so awesome and strong, and you're going to be the best, and you should be the leader.
Okay, sorry, distracted. Yeah, so Archer continues turning the screws of, you want to be rich and wealthy and own your own plot of land, right? Do you want to make more money? Sure, we all do. So, yeah, he starts talking to the Ferengi about, you know, getting his own ship and getting a green refrigerator repair. And he'll even throw in the Vulcan female. Because she sucks.
Well, that is a good thing.
So, and Dopey is considering it, and then he decides, no, I'm going to do my job.
Oh, yeah, and then they find the dog that was not affected by the gas, apparently, even though it's a tenth of everyone else's body weight.
I do like this, though, because they're trying to use the universal translator on the dog.
It's a lower life form, you idiot.
Yes,
but look,
you know,
at the ears.
But I wonder if, like, the universal translator gets more advanced later on, so you can talk to animals.
Yeah, it'd be like, hey, 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 hey.
The Gary Larson cartoon.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So also, I love that they decide this dog is probably valuable. Let's take him. So then they throw him in the bag with the pie.
Well, into an airtight container.
It'll be fine. We'll crack the windows a little bit.
It's fine. He's a space dog. He doesn't need air.
Wow, that friend has an amazing shot. He shot like the door opening button from like 30 feet.
Yeah, so I guess Trip gets a critical failure on his sneak check.
Again.
Yeah, like steps on a twig on board or something. So the game is up, and they know Trip's out there. So let the hunt begin.
Ah, yes. No more natural and beautiful predator than a Ferengi. Watch as he stalks through the corridors, whimpering and simpering. Drooling and sucking through his teeth.
Emails.
Human. And then somehow Trip somehow has a problem physically taking down a Ferengi.
I do love Trip's plan of, I'll just pretend like I'm asleep, because aliens are stupid. They don't know what I look like.
Yeah.
And it's not a bad plan, actually.
No, because how are they supposed to know? Again, the Ferengi have an amazing shot. Shoots the gun out of his hand. These Ferengi are awesome.
Oh, he doesn't shoot the gun out of his hand. He whips it out of his hand.
No. Was that the...
Oh, that was the whip discharge.
Yeah. Neelix Fringy's awesome.
Well, yeah, that's why he's the boss.
He's have whips. Stupid whips, but they remember they exist.
Yeah.
Nope. Stop that.
Well, try to detect it. It's not too late.
Oh, God. Okay, so... let's go back to Archer saying, oh, come on. You want to be a traitor, don't you?
Yes, because we need 6 different scenes of him trying to convince this Ferengi. It never gets old of him trying to talk to this friggin' Ferengi.
Aqua Ken's groans are muffled through the pills of whatever it is he's swallowing right now to end the pain.
That's actually a great idea.
Let's do that. So, like cyanide pills?
If superhero time hasn't caused him to take cyanide yet, I doubt Star Trek will.
He makes a good point.
I don't know. It's Enterprise.
Yes, pain
medication. No, you haven't seen some of the shit we've seen.
And Ken, I ask you again, why didn't you take the pain medication earlier?
It didn't hurt as much.
That's not the point, and you know it. Drug yourself for amusement.
I've done it before.
Intro quote.
Quote.
We talked
right,
okay,
anyway.
So, the main Ferengi are bickering over Trip's captured self. And
over who gets what share of his bulge?
I suppose.
That's okay. There's plenty of Trip to go around.
Oh, yes. That's what's going on here.
I do like this part because it does show like them actually doing something smart, which is making it seem like the captain and Trip are fighting and they're enemies and the Ferengi are going to take advantage of it. I actually did like this part. It's like the one actually...
Neelix Ferengi wants to stick around and find the vault, whereas Red Shirt Ferengi is like, screw this noise, we got some profit, let's leave. So Neelix is like, okay, well, you take the shuttlecraft to the females and fuck off and we'll take you all the profit for ourselves. Bye. So and then, this is where their cunning plan comes into play.
Yeah.
So, Trip is all like, no, you can't take the females. That's my wife. Oh, you mean the hot pointy-haired ones? He's like, ew, no, gross.
Mm-hmm.
The boring, dumpy Asian one. Also, she's actually, you know, not dumpy, but, you know, they dress her in fatigues instead of a sexy cat suit, so we're not supposed to think she's attractive.
Right.
That's clearly what television is telling us.
And she can complain in every language.
That's awful. That's awful.
Good night, everybody.
See, not so offensive. I knew you'd fit in here.
Disturbingly well, I might add.
Well, blame him, Mickey, for all that. Like I said, he's...
He's a bad influence, I know.
He recruited me many years ago.
Now, when you say recruited...
It's like I made you gay.
You can't make someone gay.
sure.
You can try, but... All right, so all the Ferengi are all smirking and thinking they won, and they'll start shuffling out laughing at loser Ferengi.
That's right. Trip has agreed to show them where the super secret vault is, where they keep all their treasures. And Archer's not happy about that, because that's his gold.
Space gold.
So they leave Archer with Dumpy to continue loading up the ship with their crap. The toilet seats and hand dingers that are laying around. Where the main three Ferengi take Trip on a wild goose chase through the endless Jeffries tubes of a ship about the size of a mobile home.
So, like, the spaceship.
Well, they kind of called it out, too, though. Like, Neelix Ferengi's all like, we passed this conduit already. No, we got thousands of those. Like, he is just leading them in circles.
The whole ship is made up of the same 8 feet of corridor.
Yeah, that's how they've shot these. That's how they shot these series for 50 years.
Yes. And in fairness, most of the ship is a big circle.
Yeah. Except for the long cylindrical parts.
Yes, penis. Which the Ferengi have more than likely stolen.
No, they haven't taken the engine cells yet.
You can see it in the exterior shots. They're still there.
All right.
So we're not talking about the long cylinder in Trip's pants, right?
That's the counterbalance.
It's the ballast for the ship. That's why I was just saying engineering all the time. Depending on what side of the ship you're on, the whole ship will list that direction.
Hard to starboard.
Let me just swing my hips over here.
Everybody stand back a few feet.
These ships don't lie.
Oh, God. Terrible. Yep. Now I get the three Ferengi doing the Three Stooges thing, trying to get through a door. Come on, wise guy. So where are we at, hey, Mickey?
I don't know. I've lost track.
Well, what do you see? I want to know what you see.
I'm looking at T'Pol sultry walking up to... I guess this is Dopey. Yes, Dopey.
Yeah. That's funny, because that's what I'm seeing, too, but I have my eyes closed. God.
Yes.
Has anyone found fan fiction of this particular episode? Because think how much worse this could have gone.
I'm sorry, I don't go looking for Enterprise fan fiction. Every time I look for Star Trek fan fiction, it ends up being the script of the next movie.
Sadly true.
Yep. See also how X beats on Nemesis.
Heard that story.
Right, so...
Have you heard the story?
No.
Right, so for the third time in as many weeks... Here's how XV saw Star Trek Nemesis. So at some point in whatever year Nemesis came out, a few months before the movie hit theaters.
1982.
Yeah, sure, whatever. What year did Nemesis come out?
Like 99 or something, 97.
No, it was in the 2000s.
Was it?
Yeah, 97 was First Contact.
No, it was pre-2000. Had to have been.
No, because 97 was First Contact. Insurrection still had to come out in the 90s.
This sounds like a job for Max. If he's awake.
Yeah. Because, Nemesis had to be after Voyager
2002.
There you go.
Yep.
For Janeway to have gotten home to be promoted to a cushy desk job where the desk disappears into the Delta Quadrant every other week.
Right, so in 2002, at some point, someone posted what was alleged to be the script to the next Star Trek movie. So I'm like, oh, this can't possibly be real. These script leaks are always fake. So I start reading it, and it opens with the wedding of Riker and Troi. Yeah, this is total fanfic. Let's see how bad this gets. So I keep reading. And, you know, I read through the whole thing. It's like, wow, what a pile of shit. So flash forward to later that year, as I'm sitting my ass down in the movie theater, and where do we go but the wedding of Riker and Troi? I'm just like, oh, shit.
I could just see you, like, leaning back in your chair, pushing away, going, no, no, no! No! It was like Clockwork Orange. You're sitting there strapped down, forced to watch it.
That story somehow just never gets old.
Every it doesn't, it doesn't.
In fact, every time he tells it, it gets better. It's like he's refining it over time.
I mean, it's hilarious to me just for the situation that it is, and especially being that movie. You know, like, I had foreknowledge of this. I could have avoided it, but I wasn't. I didn't pay attention to the signs. Yes, I paid money. Nemesis is actually the only Star Trek movie I saw in a theater before 2009 Star Trek, but that's its own problem. yep.
Well, at least it wasn't Revenge of the Fallen in the double digits.
No, not in the double digits, just,
Paladin isn't here for us to really, take advantage completely. It's not as
your
fun
first
when
clue
he's
that
here.
What you read wasn't fan fiction should have been that the Enterprise did not meet Doctor Who at any point in time.
Because that is kind of the standard for fanfic nowadays.
Yeah, but was,
Doctor
that
Who wasn't as big of a thing then because the revival hadn't happened.
But there was the American movie, which was...
In 1995?
Yeah.
That all of 12 people saw?
Right.
Yeah. There are dozens of us! Dozens!
All right, where are we?
I think Star Trek.
That's right.
Vulcan love slave.
Fuck. Yes, indeed.
Yes, T'Pol is agreeing to fuck this Ferengi's brains out and starts giving him a hand job on his ears before she neck pinches the life out of him.
Wait, that's not earwax. Oh, God.
Oh, Jesus. Oh.
Although there was a line earlier in the episode where they were saying the Neelix Ferengi would sell the wax out of his mother's own ears.
You know, like in Looney Tunes when they eat something too hot and like the steam just gushes out of their ears?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what I'm picturing.
Yeah, yeah. with the whistle noise. Woo!
Yeah. Absolutely the whistle noise.
Although I think with the size and shape of Ferengi ears, it'd have a bassier...
Whoa.
Yeah.
Like a tugboat noise.
Uh-huh. Like a bassoon. Bassoon.
Okay, so Trip has finally led the Ferengi through enough empty air time into the final goal, which is a closet with a tiny door.
But a big fancy lock on it.
Definitely had attached some keypad thing to earlier.
Leading all these little bald men to a tiny door to squeeze through is not, again, a euphemism in this episode.
Oh, man.
It's not.
So, he uses clever logic to get the Ferengi to go inside. Well, I'll just go in first if you think it's so dangerous. I'll go in
there
first.
They don't, even think it's dangerous. It's like, I'll go in first. It might be booby-trapped. No, you've probably got a weapon hidden in there.
So, yeah, get the door open. You sure? Oh, yeah.
Surprise! Secret to Paul!
And then they do what they should have done 45 minutes ago, and that was shoot the little bald bastards.
They didn't have any guns. The Ferengi stole them all before they woke anybody up.
One little dude had a gun, and Archer could have knocked him out, took his gun, and then zapped the other ones.
Nah. Okay, don't want to question how T'Pol got in this closet when she was previously downstairs, like, making the sweet moves and dopey.
Well, the other question, too, is how did she get in that room and lock the door from the other side?
And where did she get the hand phaser from? I thought they took all the weapons.
She got that off the shuttle after she knocked out
But she didn't get weapons.
But how did she know where to go?
Obviously, she was briefed on the plan. Or, that was the only logical place that Trip would take them to. Also, I'll note he put the lock on the biomatter reprocessing room, which just immediately makes you think, oh, it's the ship's sewer, but no. Because, like, the best way to end this episode would have been, you know, he acts like he's going to go in there first, but they're all like, no, it's a trap, you're going to, you know, you're going to pull a weapon on us in there. So they go in first, they fall into the cesspit of the ship, and he just locks the door behind
sewer
them.
Hole. It's all bubbling and everything, like an 80s movie. Like Toxic Avenger down there.
They fall in and become Joker Ferengi.
How would you know the difference?
Wait till they get a load of me.
So then we got the scene that, again, it just looks like fan fiction. I mean, you have T'Pol holding handcuff keys and teasing Archer.
That strike me. I'm like, oh, God, please don't.
Yes, because apparently her feelings got hurt that he said that she was boring.
Right, because Vulcans really care about that.
Oh, my God. It's like, not only are, it's like, you're just doubly bad. You're like, you're both bad at writing Vulcans and women.
Right.
Yes.
It's like...
Like,
well, of course,
okay,
they're
if
bad
you want
at writing...
to carry that same scene out, you know, more accurately, you could have her question the logic of him not seeing her value or something. But no,
right.
She's like, oh, you don't like me. I'm going to cry. And leave
I'm
going to
pout.
Of course they don't know how to write a woman. They're sci-fi writers.
You're not wrong.
I'm not. I'm never wrong.
Well...
No.
There's that time you went and saw Star Trek Nemesis.
There's that last episode of Enterprise you picked out for us.
There's this episode of Enterprise that you
I didn't pick
contracted
this one
somebody to pick out for us. So
no, that was Mickey. Mickey contracted someone.
No, I'm still blaming you. Still blaming you.
If you try to name me off and turn it back on again, thank you. My name is Jeffrey. I am here to help you make fun of this Enterprise episode. Your name's really not Jeffrey, is it? Yes, it is.
Please, this is Star Trek. Jeffrey.
Jeffrey Combs.
So have I met my offensiveness quota yet? Because, hey, Mickey said I had to meet a certain quota.
Oh, I think
we'll
so.
Let you know.
Not yet. Huh? I got to kick it up.
All right, so now that violence has saved the day, Archer has decided to award the shuttlecraft to Dopey.
After making all the other Ferengi put everything back that they stole.
Yes.
I'm sure they put that pie right back in the case, too.
Well, you just are obsessed with the pie, man.
No, that's the first time I talked about the pie. That was Mickey and Ken talking about the pie before.
I want some pie.
Not getting enough at home, Ken?
Oh, damn.
Damn!
That came out of nowhere.
Ken, we'll mail you a nickel, and you can have your mom at least once. Maybe twice if there's a sale.
Good Lord.
All right, so
okay,
there's this one part when the Starfleet people leave and the Ferengi are there by themselves. They're chatting it up, trying to figure out what to do. And Dopey's like, no, I'm the boss now. Yeah. And he sits down in the chair and then someone says something and he does the best little dismissive hand wave.
Yes.
That's what it looks like, hey, Mickey in a fist fight. He just kind of goes, eh.
Hey. Hey.
Watch. As he goes, he just dismisses someone about just, There it is.
Oh.
Damn.
See if I invite you back.
I don't think I've ever seen, I've never seen anybody do that to him.
Yeah, so I like that.
He didn't even retort for it.
I don't like this dynamic anymore.
This is new.
And suddenly Mickey realizes all the mistakes he's made tonight.
Okay, so I like that Archer awards Dopey the ship, even though he never did a thing to help him. He supported his bosses at all times, never betrayed them. But you know what? We'll let you go free. You get the ship.
Right. So they didn't learn a lesson. They're going to do this to other people. So it was
they made them promise to stay away from Starfleet and the Vulcans. So that's
Well, that's convenient. Just go terrorize other people. Isn't that kind of terrible?
You know, maybe Archer should have said, you know, maybe you could go try visiting the Klingons.
Yeah, they have all kind of great disruptors and stuff.
And sharp things.
Yeah, they got batliths. They don't mind those being stolen at all. So here's how you say hello in Klingon. Kales sucks. All right, so is that nerdy enough? I think I got nerdy enough.
Yes. So that's the most enjoyable Enterprise episode I've ever watched.
Out of three.
Oh, God.
Out of three.
Oh, are you still with us, man?
No. I'm gone.
We lost Ken a long time ago.
This was just one of those episodes. It was just like, I think the writers, again, were just, you know what? We have an episode to fill. We're going to have half of it no dialogue. Nothing's actually going to happen. No character development whatsoever.
Halfway through the season, we already know nobody cares or gives a crap, so, you know. Might as well try something.
Right.
Right, and now this is the right time for me to say, I don't like this episode.
You.
Why don't you like this episode? It has everything.
Like an hour or two.
At this point, Deep Space Nine had already given us the best the Ferengi could ever be.
This is true.
So just even setting aside the fact that this episode kind of flies in the face of what the established history of the Ferengi contact with the Federation was.
This is also what annoyed me about the Borg episode, of course, but, you know.
Well.
Yeah.
Time travel.
You know, it's still inherently inferior Ferengi storytelling than most of what came before it.
Yeah, I think I would take almost any episode of DS9 that focused on...
Well, no kidding!
Yeah. That focused on anything, even really. Even season one.
Right.
Well, see, yeah, I'm not saying this is a good episode at all. I'm saying this is an amusing episode. It's bad. It's not quite Catwoman-y, but it's halfway there.
No.
Like, the
no,
only thing this episode no. didn't have... was that it was a jail room rub down scene, but they got close enough with Trip in his underwear.
Right, I think that was the surrogate.
Like, instead of just having the one didn't have was the other white guy from the crew.
Yeah, where was a British guy?
What's his name?
Yeah,
Reed. Yeah, that's Malcolm my point. Reed. What's his name? The other one,
Hugh Grant.
That's who I was saying they should have woke up instead of T'Pol.
He didn't even they didn't pan the camera over him like they did with pilot and translator lady.
No, I think he probably wasn't even there that day.
Yeah, that day. Because this episode took a day to film.
Probably.
He had to go back to England and recharge his accent.
It's like a syringe of tea being injected into his arm.
So I'll pick out an even better Enterprise episode next time, right? Right?
Think season two.
Season two. Yeah, because like three and four, they're actually good episodes with acting and story and plot.
Well, I don't like season three, but the problem with season four is most of those are multi-part episodes, so it'd be kind of hard to just grab one thing and go.
Right.
Let's watch the series finale, where it's just Fat Riker hanging out with Troy.
Oh, we don't talk about that. Don't ruin season four for us.
Apparently, putting a wedding ring on Riker's finger was like pulling the ripcord on a raft.
I understand that's how it works for most people when they get married.
Yeah, take note, hey Mickey.
No. We got fat before we got married. Thank you very much.
Oh, Mickey, you have so much farther to grow.
There's so much more room in the universe.
Of course, would the house be able to take much?
Well, it's not built in Texas, so the foundation won't collapse.
Are you sure?
Have you seen Mickey's house?
Yes, I have.
Recently?
Have you seen the basement?
Of?
That's what I thought.
That's not where the power chamber is.
It's almost as nice as the basement in the Alamo.
Mickey, Do you have
Yeah, there are a lot less scared men in the Alamo's basement, though.
Oh, damn.
fewer, not less, fewer.
Grammar has no place on this show.
Oh, that's good. Me like that.
I'm trying to remember, did we like decide in advance on the original series episode
yes,
to watch?
We did. Is there truth, no beauty, and
right,
young
Pulaski.
Beautiness?
Young Truthies? Pulaski.
Yes. Sexy Pulaski.
Oh, that's an oxymoron. God, it's like sexy
she looks
Judge
at
Judy.
Least as young as DeForest Kelly does.
In the Next Generation episode.
No, in original series.
Oh, okay.
No, she looks like DeForest Kelly Next Generation during that one episode of season 2 where they take off all her makeup.
Yeah. God. I'm glad Pulaski didn't last beyond season 2 because if she had, especially after the episodes where they meet Q and all this kind of stuff, every time she would walk down the corridor, they're like, Borg! And they try to shoot her and they go, oh, it's just Pulaski. I mean, she just simply wouldn't survive.
Yeah, I would just love to see Pulaski and Crusher discussing Picard's medical options in front of him.
It would eventually devolve into like castration of different kinds, I think. So that's usually that happens when the genders are kind of outnumbered.
No, seriously, Kevin, this will make your heart work better. Just shut up. Anyway, as I was saying... Right, so I think we're set for next week then. So, Scott, it's been an interesting time having you with us.
Well, it's been interesting meeting you too.
Way to phrase that.
You're very interesting people.
You're very
aren't we just?
This has certainly been an evening.
We had time together.
This is an experience of my life.
I continued breathing for the past hour and a half. So if you guys ever need another asshole to join you guys, just let me know. I'll be more than happy to. And if not, that's fine too. It's been a blast. Thank you guys so much for letting me come in and have fun with you guys. This has been awesome.
Thanks for coming and making Enterprise less awful to talk about.